On December 22, 2012, Sandra and Jaime Jim Melgar were celebrating their 32nd wedding anniversary with dinner at their favorite Mexican restaurant. Afterward, they staged a romantic evening at home, lighting candles and spending the next 2 hours in their jacuzzi. They were high school sweethearts, Sandra, a former nurse, Jim, a computer programmer, and by all accounts, still deeply in love. But by the next morning, Jim was dead, and Sandra was found tied up in a closet, covered in her own waste, disoriented, confused, and very much alive. This is the story that shattered a family, divided a courtroom, and raised a haunting question. Did Sandra Melgar kill her husband, or was she the victim of a horrific crime and a deeply flawed investigation? Hey, crime crew, it's Ed from Murder Unscripted, and I want to welcome you to MU Minis, where every Friday we cover big crimes in a fraction of the time. But don't worry, our full-length deep dives still drop every Tuesday, so be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss them. Now, let's get into this week's mini. It's 4:30 p.m. on December 23rd, 2012, when Marissa Campos, the niece of Jim Melgar, and her father Herman head over to Jim and Sandra's place on Kelsey Meadows Court in Houston, Texas. They've been invited over for dinner. When they arrive, they find the garage door wide open, something the couple never did. The door leading into the house is unlocked. Inside, silence. But then they heard it, a muffled cry. Behind a bathroom closet door, blocked by a chair, they find Sandra, bound at the wrists and ankles, too tightly for her to free herself. She'd been there for hours, covered in her own urine and feces. A few feet away, Jim's body was discovered in a bedroom closet, stabbed 31 times. A red rope was draped across his body in almost ritualistic fashion. A kitchen knife, the presumed murder weapon, was in the bathtub. Jim's feet were loosely tied with a telephone cord. When questioned, Sandra claimed she didn't remember the attack. She said she may have had a seizure, something she'd suffered from for years, after the assailants hit her in the head. At first, she remembered nothing. Later, she said she recalled seeing a young woman watching her get tied up. She looked angry, Sandra said in a 2018 interview. I wasn't sure if it had happened. I thought maybe she came in with my brother-in-law. Detectives didn't buy it. They recorded a reenactment showing how Sandra could have staged the scene herself, pushing a chair up against a door from inside the closet. There were no signs of forced entry, no struggle outside the bedroom, no blood outside the master suite. It looked too clean. And yet no DNA or blood from Sandra was found on the weapon or on Jim's body. In fact, unidentified male and female DNA was found in the house, DNA that didn't belong to either of them. A backpack filled with electronics was found in the garage. Prescription pills and the couple's television were missing. More blood was found on the handle of the couple's safe, though it had never been tested by police. Meanwhile, investigators focused on only one suspect, Sandra. The case didn't go to trial for nearly 5 years, but when it did, the prosecution painted Sandra as a woman with motive. Not a financial one, not even an affair, but something more obscure. Religious pressure. Prosecutor Colleen Barnett implied Sandra, a devout Jehovah's Witness, might have chosen murder over divorce. Sandra called the theory very upsetting. She twisted everything. That's not what we believe, Sandra said. Inside the courtroom, the case was murky. Prosecutors pointed to inconsistencies in Sandra's story and the lack of forced entry. They argued she could have staged the scene herself, but blood spatter expert Christina Rossi had a different take. She testified that Jim wasn't attacked sitting in a chair, as the prosecutors claimed, but while standing in the closet. She noted that candles were still burning. Drawers appeared open but untouched. The scene seemed curated. Nothing I have puts him in that chair, Rossi said. If he was stabbed dozens of times, how is there no DNA from Sandra, no blood? That's not normal. Still, it wasn't enough. The jury convicted Sandra Melgar of murder. In 2017, she was sentenced to 27 years in prison. The jury foreman later said their decision was emotional, but not irrational. Quote, "We didn't think she was a threat to society," he explained. "It was a humane decision. Maybe she'd be in her 70s when released. Maybe she'd get to see her grandchildren," end quote. Today, Sandra is still fighting to clear her name. Her appeals argue the evidence was insufficient, the investigation deeply flawed, and the trial unfair. In 2024, the Innocence Project of Texas stepped in. Sandra's family offered a $100,000 reward for information leading to Jim's real killer. New DNA testing from the safe handle revealed a profile that matched no one in the household. And now, a new legal team is pushing for a retrial, with fresh eyes on the evidence and new hope for a different outcome. From behind bars, Sandra Melgar continues to maintain her innocence. In a recent interview with KHOU, she said, quote, "I didn't kill my husband. I miss my grandchildren so much. I'm just going to keep fighting until I'm out of here. That's all I can do," end quote. So what really happened in that house on the night of December 22nd, 2012? A calculated crime or a catastrophic mistake? You be the judge. That's all for this week's MU Mini. Tune in Tuesday for our next full-length episode. And until then, stay safe, stay curious, and stay unscripted.